Sarmon probably intended the confessions to be amusing, and they were. But if he instigated the hoax, he misjudged the mood of Paris and the magnitude of the Mona Lisa theft. Above all, he misjudged the depth of shame he would bring on his friends. As for Géry, he turned up the next year in Cairo, where he was arrested and eventually acquitted. For years, Picasso never spoke of Apollinaire and the Mona Lisa arrest. He continued becoming Picasso, the most extraordinary, the wealthiest, and ironically, the most stolen artist of the 20th century. The Apollinaire-Picasso spectacle had been a diversion. The investigation stumbled on. Mona Lisa became the phantom of the Louvre.
And tomorrow, as the hunt for the missing painting continues, just why has Leonardo da Vinci's painting beguiled people through the ages? Nicholas Grace was reading part two of The Lost Mona Lisa by R.A. Scotti. It was produced by Duncan Minchell.
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Hello, Joanna Pinnock here at 3 o'clock. Drama now with our epic tale of love and a modern retelling of an Indian classic. Stay with us for the final part of the Ramayana. And later, Now You See Her, Now You Don't. Mel will be looking at the science behind invisibility in today's 4 o'clock show. Victoria Pendleton talks about training to become an Olympic athlete. And Fred McCauley will be keeping it in the family. That's all in an hour. But now we continue our modern version of an ancient Indian epic and one of the world's most enduring love stories, the Ramayana, dramatised by Anne Bellone. Sita has been abducted by a ruthless warlord. Rama enlists the help of an army of monkeys to get her back, but has she already betrayed him?
Your bright colours and that irritating voice.
Leave the bird alone.
It must have seen something. Tell me, daughter.
Let it go.
It was about to speak.
The parrot doesn't know where Sita is.
Then who does? The bees, the elephants, the lions on the other side of this forest?
Jatayu said...
Jatayu is dead. Our vulture friend was no help to us.
At least we know Ravan has her.
But where did he take her? He's got bolt holes all over the country. She could be anywhere. What use of Jatayu if he
can't... He tried to fight Ravan. He died trying to help Sita.
These animals are useless. The mango trees, the champa, the jackfruit.
Please?
Be patient.
Please? Would you young men know where I can get some water?
There's a spring nearby. Just follow the path to your right.
Bless you, my son.
Ask the sadhu.
No. Could be another trick.
Then I will.
Rama?
Swami, wait!
Yes?
I don't need blessings.
You need good fortune.
Stop. Sorry, Baba. Who are you?
Who's asking?
Oh, forgive my friend. He's not well.
I'm the elder son of Dasharath.
See? Why would a prince be wandering in the forest dressed in these rags? He's delusional.
I'm Rama, and this is my brother Lakshman.
My lord!
The old sadhu falls at Rama's feet to pay his respect.
Please, get up. I don't need you to kiss my feet. I need help.
The sadhu moans as if in pain. He rises up, slowly, bending and buckling.
Well, what's wrong with him?
Stand back. Stay out of his way.
Fur starts appearing on his hands and feet. The sadhu's lungi drops away. He throws his head back and roars. Towering a foot above us, the fur spreads over his body in an instant. The old man's bald head is no longer human. The face of a monkey stares at us, and a tail sprouts from his backside.
What are you, monkey?
I'm your ally. What are you doing in this forest? Are you a demon?
We saw you from our settlement. Sagriva, the monkey lord, sent me to find out if you were Bali's spies.
Who's Bali?
A traitor who plotted against my lord. Forgive me for not recognizing you. Please come with me to our hideout. Sir Greaver will give you whatever you want.
I want to find my wife. She's been stolen from me. Taken by General Ravan's army.
Hanuman. My name's Hanuman. I'll find her for you.
We trek through the forest for some hours. Rama tells Hanuman how we found Jatayu near dead on the forest floor. How Ravan had torn at the vulture's wings like a crazed dog. Rama asks every plant, every flower, each snake, each ant he comes across, if they know where Sita is. He's quite mad. And my throat gets drier and drier. I'm happy to reach Kishkinda, the monkey kingdom, and desperate for a bowl of food. But we wait. We have to wait until Sugriva, the monkey king, will see us.
Eat, eat. Who knows when he'll attack?
Who?
My brother Bodhi. He's taken over my kingdom and he's taken my wife, just as Ravan has taken yours.
Do you know where they are?
On the other side of the forest, in a fortified base.
Well, perhaps if you tried to meet him...
He refuses to speak to me. He sends threats every day. Rama, I want you to kill Bodhi for me.
But he's your brother.
In name only.
Is there no chance of a reconciliation?
He wants me dead.
And he has your wife.
Please, Rama. I'd do it myself, but I can't get anywhere near him.
Maybe we should sleep on it.
She doesn't want me anymore.
Well, how do you know?
He let her go. And she went back to him. She loves him.
I'm sorry.
He's taken everything. We're living under constant threat. If he kills me, the monkeys will have no chance of living in peace.
Then he must pay for what he did. You've looked after us, fed us, hidden nothing.
Perhaps we should talk about this in the morning.
There's no need. What sort of man would I be if I didn't help a friend?
The promise is made and sealed with a handshake. I hear Sita's words resounding in my ears. Don't harm those who haven't harmed you. Some days later, Sugriva entices Bali out of his hiding place with a stolen truck full of fruit. The smell wafts through the jungle. Bali appears above us, jumping off a branch onto Sugriva's back. The monkey brothers fight, and we watch. It's a fight to the death.
Which one's Bali?
I don't know.
What if I hit Sugriva by mistake? How am I supposed to know the difference?
You'll have to take a chance. He's losing.
Which one? Sugriva or Bali?
I don't know. Can't tell.
Who am I shooting at?
Bali! There!
I see him! I see him!
Bali falls face down on the ground, shot through the back. He doesn't know why Rama has attacked him.
You stole your brother's wife. And you stole your brother's crown. Do you think you should be allowed to get away with that?
Bali's head falls back. He closes his eyes. I feel uncomfortable, dirty, and the look on Rama's face tells me he feels it too.
Whatever we can do to get Sita back for you, we will. My monkey army is at your disposal.
Sugriva wants us to stay in Kishkinda for his coronation, but I sense Rama's discomfort. He can't bring himself to celebrate with one brother while we bury another.
I didn't even know him.
But what he did was wrong.
I came between them.
You made a choice.
I could have kept out of it. I shot him in the back, Lakshman.
Sugriva has thousands of monkeys ready to march with you. But if you hadn't killed Bali...
So I'm a mercenary.
You're Vishnu. You judge right from wrong. You don't have to feel guilty.
It could have been me and you.
I can't speak for Bharat or any of our other brothers, but I won't fight you for Ayodhya. Not now, not ever.
Why not?
Not all of us want to be kings.
What if I begged you to take it?
It's not yours to give. Bharat rules. We're exiles. We can't trust our brothers, our stepmother. We live as fugitives. Why would I want to be king? Anyway, it's not in my dharma. You're the one, Rama. The true perfect being. All-powerful, all-merciful, all-knowing.
Have you ever thought I might want to swap places with you?
Why? Every woman wants you. Every man wants to be you.
My wife could be in Ravan's bed right now.
Don't. You'll find her. As soon as it's safe, and as soon as we're no longer targets for Kakei's hitmen, we'll go home.
Because it's your duty.
I miss my wife, and I want my life back. I'm here because I love who you are, but not what you have to do.
Monkey kings fall at my feet. Armies are ready to fight. Even in exile, I am admired, feared. But I've lost what's most precious to me. And I don't know if I'll ever get it back.
My wife says I should let you go.
So there is someone in this hell who has some sense.
Oh, Mandodori isn't clever. She just thinks she is. She knows I could squash Rama like a mosquito.
You should take her advice.
She's not scared of Rama. She's jealous of you.
It's understandable. My husband's a god. Hers is a devil. Don't touch me!
Do you know how most of our enemies die?
Tortured? Gassed? Machete? Starved?
They die trying to steal from us. Trying to steal our territory. I offer the people of Lanka protection.
Or death.
There are government ministers who condemn me in public, but who do business with my firms in private. I wasn't born with their privileges, but we understand each other very well.
Never.
I'll give you 2 more weeks. If you don't come to me by then, I'll have you served up on a silver dish and I'll eat you piece by juicy piece. Think it over. Get away, monkey, get away. I'm a patient man, but I won't wait forever.
Rama, save me.
Look up.
A monkey.
I brought something for you.
A ring.
Shh. Wait there.
Who are you?
Hanuman. Rama sent the ring for you.
How did you get in?
I climbed. And we can climb our way out. Jump on my back. I've got a boat hidden a few hundred yards from the camp. Come on.
We'd never make it. They've got snipers in the towers, guard dogs, an electric fence.
We have to take our chances.
No. Go to Rama. Tell him where I am. Tell him to come quickly.
He's gathering an army.
So bring them here, Hanuman. Then we might make it out alive.
I don't want to leave you.
Give him this lapis. Tell Rama that I'm praying for him every day. Go! The guards could be here any minute.
I'll tell him you're safe. Pray for me too.
Watch out for the dogs. He keeps them hungry.
You took his wife because you believe she is perfect?
I took her to show him how it feels.
So why is she still alive?
She's my bargaining tool.
Let her go.
Look what they did to my sister.
They'll invade us over this. We hold 20 states, but they have allies. Weapons!
Who is going to have Supnaka now? They've cut her face. Is that the work of princes?
Be better than him!
You sound like my brother. Are you going to stab me in the back as well?
Never, but...
Oh, what an... Oh, what are they dragging in? A monkey?
Sir, we caught him by the outer gate.
Doing what? Stealing fruit?
He's no ordinary monkey. He wounded 2 of our soldiers.
Really? With what? Coconuts?
He says he wants to speak to you.
Ah, so speak, ape. I'm all ears.
Anger, Rama, and you'll have nothing left.
Sita's lover sends a monkey as his messenger.
Make peace with Rama. Return Sita. He'll forgive you.
First I have my brother quaking in his chuckles. Now I have a baboon preaching at me.
Rama has the gods on his side.
Take the chimp away and bring me back his head.
No, Ravan!
I thought I told
you. Don't kill him! He's just following orders. Let him go or you will bring bad luck on the whole of Lanka.
All right. But I want him to give Rama a message. Tell him that Sita is an honored guest in my household. She has no desire to return to him now or ever, and that she is about to become my wife. If he abandons all claims to her, I will overlook his presence in my territory. Have you got that, ape?
Yes.
Good. Now, soldier, bring me that flame.
What are you doing?
Burning the ape's tail. See how fast you can get out of here with a red-hot backside chip.
You fool, Ravan!
dance, monkey! Go on, let's see you dance! 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, that's it!
My paintings!
Lift your feet, lift them high!
Get him out of here, get him out of here!
Get back to your master and tell him what I said!
Hanuman, his tail burning, jumps out of a window into a guava tree, sending it up in flames. The wooden arches on the pathway catch light. Then the fence, the grass, the outbuildings, fire licking across the fields to the dry bushes beyond.
My orchards! The summer house! The cornfields! Fetch water! Hurry! I warned you!
You wanted me to let him go.
The weapon store!
Get inside!
Give this up, Ravan! We'll all be killed!
Ravan's men chase after Hanuman. He throws coconuts at them, setting off landmines. The weapon store blazes in the sky. Soldiers run out of their tents. Servants race out of the holes they call home. Hanuman flashes me a smile and flies off, leaving a trail of sparks in his wake.
The horizon's red with flames. What could have started it?
Ravan may be strong, but he makes enemies everywhere. Someone's hit back today. It's a good sign.
If we can get close enough, we can attack now Sugriva is here.
He took his time?
He came. That's all that matters.
I don't tell Rama how Sugriva slithered his words out when I went to find him. I don't say that now he is king again, he's fat and drunk.
Sugriva's true to his word. He keeps his promises.
I don't tell Rama how I found Sugriva prostrate in his lavish bedroom, red-faced and pot-bellied. Instead, I tell him Sugriva was delayed because he was gathering extra forces.
I keep thinking about Sita. What if she's dead? What if she's injured?
Rama. A branch overhead cracks and falls. Hanuman lands in front of Rama.
Where did you come from?
I had two of Rama's men chasing after me. I've lost them.
We thought you were dead.
I'm better than that. This is for you, Rama.
Lapis.
A jewel from Sita Sari.
You found her? Where is she?
In Ravan's garden.
Why did you leave her?
She wouldn't come with me. It wasn't safe.
But you got in.
I flew.
Is she well? Is she different? Has he hurt her?
He says she's his guest. That she's free to leave whenever she chooses.
What do you mean?
He told me to tell you that. He says he's going to make her his wife.
His wife? Has he touched her?
He's not winning her over, if that's what you mean.
But he holds her captive.
Don't think about it, Rama. We'll find a way to get her back. At least we know she's alive.
Yes. Yes.
We've got 15 dead soldiers and 26 injured.
If Mandodari hadn't interfered...
Let Sita go!
I've brought in reinforcements, double the guard. There are rocket launchers across the island.
Let her go.
Not after what they did to you.
Well, you took her for my sake, didn't you? To restore my good name.
Yes.
Then let me decide what happens to her. I want her dead.
A sister.
You promised.
I promised you revenge. Sita has a choice, a simple choice. She knows that. If she makes the wrong choice... You can do whatever you want with her.
So Ravan thinks these drops of water will save him.
The ocean around Lanka is filled with the rotting carcasses of those who've crossed it.
Ravan's two deputies are dead.
And many more on our side.
And when the Demon King finds out that his brother and son are also dead...
The sooner he crawls out of his hiding place, the better.
Word is, he's spinning in his castle. Like a madman.
Don't be complacent. He'll be planning a counter-attack.
We've been fighting for weeks. Legions of us. We reached the edge of the sea. We're battered, hungry, exhausted. Many villagers and peasants have thrown their lot in with us, given their lives to try and get their land back. The land that Ravan took by force.
How do we cross an ocean this size?
Look on this stretch of water as an illusion. Rest, eat, and sleep.
Are you waiting for a miracle?
No. Two companions, Nala and Nili, expert engineers. We'll cross this sea without getting a single hair on our bodies wet.
Please, Hanuman, we need solutions, not acts of faith.
Are you doubting the power of your flying friend? He's the only one who's actually seen Sita.
We're going to construct a bridge to carry us to Lanka.
From what?
The boulders along the cliffside.
How? There are miles to cross.
Build, Hanuman. What are you waiting for?
Once Nala and Neely get here, we'll begin.
Hanuman leads his monkeys, thousands of them, to the narrowest point, the causeway between Lanka and India. They form a chain linked by their tails. From dawn to dusk, they pass rocks along the chain. As the bridge rises, so do they. They jump on each other's shoulders, and still the chain goes on. It's magnificent. The pathway of boulders takes shape, skimming the surface of the waves.
Tripleka! And Tiny! Madras,
my nephew and my younger brother are dead.
I'm sorry!
They were blown up by a landmine, planted by the rebels you support. All this death and destruction for you.
Why you? I didn't ask for it. Speak to Ravan. Ask him to free me. It's not too late. Rama will forgive him.
And will that bring back my family? Their eyes smiling, their mouths laughing.
I can't change what has happened. I can't change Dharma.
Don't talk about Dharma! What makes you so holy? Why are your people more valuable than mine?
I didn't say that!
You believe it, don't you? Rama has more blood on his hands than my brother.
Rama is trying to do what he thinks is right.
What arrogance. Tell me, where do you think Rama is now?
He'll be here.
Perhaps he's given up on you. Or is he afraid to come?
He's never been afraid.
But he lets you suffer. When I first set eyes on him, I thought he was not like other men. I thought he was strong, potent, vigorous, but it's pride, not love, that drives Rama. Who wants a man weaker than oneself?
Wait! Untie me! Please! I'll die here!
Then die. And I can watch Rama wail like every woman in Lanka.
Don't go! Please!
The bridge of stones is built, and one by one we begin crossing the sea to Ravan's fortress. He sends units out, but we ambush them, and soon his supplies are dwindling. His advisors plead with him to give up. He refuses. He should surrender, but he can't. He won't. So we continue. On the third day, we're outnumbered in a valley far from our base. I step on a mine. Hanuman comes for me and loses a leg, and for a moment, we're gone from this world. I see my wife's face, smiling above me in a white sky. Then we're brought back with a breath and a prayer. We're stretchered into camp and treated by doctors. It's as if we never left. After that, Rama unleashes all he can at the enemy. Rocket launchers and helicopters blast their way into the fortress. Ravan is brought out of his bunker and faces us. His commanders are executed one by one. Ravan is caught, dragged to a clearing and tied to an ironwood tree. He breaks free, and he and Rama fight each other with fists and clubs. He's caught and tied up again. His face is a bloody pulp. One of his arms hangs limp at his side, and his chest is ripped open.
Please, spare him!
I'll suck the marrow from your bones, Rama!
He heaves and pulls and wrenches the tree from its roots. Rama raises his rifle.
Please, please have mercy on him!
Shoot, Rama!
Ravan throws his head back, clawing the air. His mouth moves as if he's trying to say something. His eyes stare. Rama shoots again. Ravan's body splits in two and crashes to the ground. Nobody cheers. The battlefield is silent. Mandodari, his wife, takes her place by his side. The lament begins.
Like Mount Mandara, Ravan slept in his bed when I first saw him.
Huge, magnificent, he terrified me. Now the mountain has become a heap of dust.
The palace is deserted. Cockroaches, lizards, scorpions scratch in the red dust. A rich and fertile land has been destroyed. But my heart jumps out of my chest. I can't control the excitement. Rama is coming for me. Day becomes night. The shadows of funeral goers disappear into the barley fields. And Rama doesn't come. I lie against the Ashoka tree, waiting.
Where's Rama and Lakshman?
Come on! Let's get out of here! There are snipers hiding in the palace! Give me your hand! We're in! Hang on!
What's happened? Is Rama hurt?
He's waiting with the troops.
He's waiting? What for?
He'll be with you in no time!
He wins the war and he still doesn't come!
He couldn't!
Why?
It's pride, not love, that drives Rama. Who wants a man who's weaker than oneself?
I gave Rama nothing! Not an eyelash!
He destroyed Lanka for you!
I didn't ask him to!
Hold tight! We're flying low!
How is she?
Weak, disorientated. Shall I ask her to come to you?
She's recuperating, you said.
She's a survivor. She suffered a great deal. They kept her tied up a lot of the time.
I don't want to see her.
Have some respect.
Where's the respect for me, brother?
She's the same person as the day she was kidnapped. She loves you.
Is that so? If you believe in her virtues so much, then you have her.
Rama, you've been in this forest too long.
There's a slight on her character, a question of her reputation. How can the wife of a prince be living in another man's house?
She was kidnapped.
So you say. All this time, months, and she didn't try to escape?
You don't know that. You're insulting her. You're insulting all of us.
Rama!
What?
I've been waiting for you. Why didn't you come to my tent?
Go to Lakshman.
What?
Go to Lakshman. Go on. He believes in you.
I don't understand.
Or do you want Hanuman?
Rama, stop this.
Why are you saying these things?
It's the war that's done this to you.
Bharat, Sugriva, they've always had a soft spot for you. Go to them. Go on. Take your pick. Go with whoever takes your fancy.
Why would I want to do that?
I did my duty.
I didn't give in to him.
I've shown the world that we can't be stolen from, tricked, insulted. That we may be in exile, but we're still princes. But I won't be shamed.
Rama!
Get away from me.
All these months you've been my only thought. There's only ever been you.
I don't believe you.
Lakshman, I call you as my witness.
What are you doing? Go, Sita! Rama, come quick!
I want him to watch.
I believe you, Sita!
Stay out of my way!
Alive.
I watch this tiny, fragile woman walk into the blazing building and disappear. Hanuman tries to run after her. Rama holds him back. I look at my brother. His face is still, hard. His eyes stare, not blinking. He seems to feel nothing. Hanuman turns away.
Look out!
The roof of the building collapses. I wish it was Rama in that inferno, not his wife. I want to throw him in myself. Hanuman sits on the ground. He's crying.
Then, out of nowhere,
Mother Sita!
Sita emerges, more stunning than before, shining with the glow of the ferocious fire. But she smiles and faces the sun like a lotus. Rama approaches her. She hesitates. He embraces her. It's quick, formal.
I'm sorry.
She turns away. He stands awkwardly, kicking his feet in the dust.
Sita, come with me. I want a doctor to check you over.
I'm fine.
Just to put our mind at rest.
I've had a message from the Queen.
If it's from Kakei, it'll be a trap.
She's asking for you. Barrett's refusing to appear in public. He's ill. He's checked into a clinic. He says he can't carry on.
We should wait.
Haven't you waited long enough?
Are you ready?
Yes.
That evening, Rama makes an offering at a temple. He gets the blessing of a pandit. He renews his vows to Sita. They emerge from the mandir, holding hands and smiling like a newly married couple. He's won her over again. How can he doubt her now?
We cross the bridge back to the mainland and the nearest functioning airport. A private jet awaits us on the runway. The wide leather seats feel strange. The comfort and service is overwhelming. Rama and Lakshman fall into a solid sleep. I attack a meal with meat and bread.
Rama is promising the people of this country a fresh start. We have faith in him.
The kind of faith men don't place in women.
The way he treated you, he was probably in shock. He didn't believe we'd even find you alive.
And I should be grateful, you think?
We should all be thankful Ravan's been defeated.
Will Rama be a good king?
He lives for that.
How different brothers can be. Lakshman, open-minded and optimistic. And Rama, so quick to judge.
Lakshman has only himself to think about.
Lakshman sacrificed his wife, his whole life for years to help my husband.
But he'll never have the weight Rama has on his shoulders. Their destinies are different.
We arrive at the palace. The streets are lit with thousands of brightly coloured lamps. The festival of our homecoming, Diwali. Rama visits the clinic to see Bharat. Bharat says the shoes Rama left behind when we went into exile are waiting for him at the foot of the throne. Rama's mother arrives at Bharat's hospital bed. She hugs her son.
I'm back for good now.
Oh, my son. My son.
Kusalya has to be prized away. Later, they walk in the palace gardens and a sumptuous dinner is prepared.
For Hanuman and Sugriva, our guests of honour.
The feast is unreal. Roast buffalo, deer, goose, partridge, saffron, jasmine, melons, mangoes, figs, grapes, barfi, laddu and hot syrupy jalebi laid on tables, decked with sweet sherbets and sparkling wines.
We don't need payment.
It's not payment. It's a celebration. We're going to be lifelong allies.
Rama's stepmother, Kakei, appears from a corner of the dining hall. She looks worn, wretched. She sidles up to us. A security guard blocks her way, but Rama motions her to come forward.
Forgive me, my son.
There's nothing to forgive.
How can you be so gracious when I threw you out? Your father? He died with your name on his lips.
Please don't bring this up now.
It's all right, Sita.
Bharat refuses to speak to me.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's what I deserve. I'm leaving tomorrow. I won't stand in your way again.
You have a place in this family and in this palace. You don't have to go.
Rama creates a place for her between us at the supper table. I'm not sure what I feel about this, but I'm getting used to being low down the list of my husband's concerns. A band entertains us. We dance as fireworks are let off. The festivities last for weeks.
Life approaches normality again. Rama's coronation takes place and his mother treats me like her long-lost daughter. Pundits, sadhus, astrologers all come to bless us. We take a trip to Nepal. It's the first time since I was kidnapped that we spend the night together. For a few days, it feels like it used to. Then he becomes remote again. In political circles, it's better for me. I'm older, wiser, respected. A few whispers in the corridor about what happened when Ravan stole me away, but no one takes it seriously. Still, when I start being sick in the mornings and go off my food, I don't tell Rama.
So, you thought you'd keep your mouth shut and it would all fly past me?
Rama, you may be king, but that does not give you the right to invade my privacy.
I shouldn't have to invade your privacy. You should consult me.
On what?
If you weren't my brother, I'd have you interrogated.
Tortured, you mean? Do you even remember who you are?
Why? Does anybody else?
Brother, calm down.
So you respect me, just like all the others pretend to do.
What others? Bharat worships you as if you're some sort of god.
You're supposed to be the one who guarded me with your life.
I did not do it out of duty, but because I love you. I care about you.
Then why do I have to hear filthy slander from the mouth of a dobi?
What are you talking about?
As if you didn't know.
What are people saying about you?
They're calling me a cuckold.
What?
That's right. They joke about me in bars and offices. The gossip columnists are having a field day.
Rama.
The gutter press is claiming I know Sita was unfaithful. That she slept with Ravan.
That's rubbish.
Is it?
Where did this rumour come from?
The Buddha who washes my clothes.
You take it seriously.
The kitchen staff, the gardeners, the chambermaids are laughing. Imagine what the cabinet and our business partners must be thinking.
And what do they say exactly?
They say I'm an idiot for taking her back. They say, what sort of king accepts a woman who's been with someone else?
But she hasn't.
Were you there?
Sita walked into a burning building to prove her loyalty to you.
It doesn't matter. In the eyes of the people, she's wronged me. She has to go.
Go where? On the back of one stupid comment?
The whole country thinks I'm a fool.
I don't but... Look, Rama, it's been a hard adjustment. A lot is expected of you. You need a rest. A break.
What choice do I have?
Ignore what people say.
What people think of Sita doesn't just reflect on her. Our opponents will say I'm weak.
You're not. A few loose tongues. Lazy, jealous people sitting in judgment. Let it go.
Take Sita and leave her in the middle of the forest near our old ashram. Tell her you've been told to bring her to me.
No.
Tell her I want to visit the ashram with her. I've been feeling guilty about not spending enough time with her.
No.
And leave her there. Leave her with whatever clothes she wears and don't look back.
She's pregnant.
I order you to! Are you going to disobey me?
Rama, don't make me part of this.
This is for the good of the city, your nation, Lakshman. Turn your back on me and you turn your back on all our people.
Lakshman visits me. I'm in the early stages of my long-hoped-for pregnancy.
How are you?
Stronger than I feel.
Should I come back later?
It'll be no different. Are you all right?
Yes. Fine. I'm good.
And your wife?
I'm lucky to have her.
You're well-suited, Lakshman. Oh, excuse me.
I'm sorry you're not well.
It'll pass. Is this about the dobi?
What dobi?
Kasalia told me Rama's angry. He hasn't been to see me for the last 2 days.
He doesn't want to disturb you.
We've spent years together, Lakshman. You'll never be able to lie to me. He doesn't trust me, does he? He wants me to perform another trial by fire, preferably on primetime television.
His advisors feel it would be helpful.
I'm sure they do.
Sita, I don't know any woman... any man who could live through what you have and...
I won't do it.
Is that what I tell him?
I refuse to put myself through another test. If he or the whole of Ayodhya choose not to believe me, I don't care.
Thank you.
You're not talking me out of my decision.
Thank you for not giving in to him. He's the one who's wrong.
For days I'm too tired and sick to leave my bed. Kusalya sends me ginger tea and slices of watermelon. Rama doesn't come. Lakshman does return, in a better mood. It seems Rama's temper has cooled and he's seeing sense. He wants to meet me in the ashram that we made home during our exile. My spirits lift. I can't wait. I leave with Lakshman as my guide.
Have some.
I'm not hungry.
Your mother says I should eat figs to restore my strength. I told her I was fine. A few days with my husband is all I need. I don't recognize this place. There are less trees than there used to be.
Do you need a hand to get out?
I'm not ill, Lakshman, just pregnant. Where's the ashram?
It's not here anymore.
Is my husband coming? Or did we come out here to play some kind of trick on him? What's wrong? I was joking. I didn't mean to upset you. Please, Lakshman, speak to me.
This was all I could bring. Take it.
What for?
It has sandwiches, water, some council food in it. It'll last you a few days.
I don't want it.
There's a tent and a sleeping bag. Please take it.
Take it where? Are you trying to get rid of me? This isn't funny, Lakshman.
Rama has ordered it. He wants you out of Ayodhya for good.
Why are you saying this? Get out of my way. Give me the keys. I'll drive.
He ordered me to leave you here. He says he can't live with you anymore.
And he couldn't tell me that himself.
I'm sorry.
I'm having his child, Lakshman. Why not just send me abroad?
You'll be watched, followed, reported on. He wants no trace of you to remain. I'm sorry.
If this is what he's ordered, then this is what will happen.
Forgive me.
I leave Sita standing in an empty field and drive back to her undeserving husband. I pray the gods will protect her.
It's done?
Yes.
How was...
Don't.
Answer me.
I have to go. My wife's expecting me.
I'm not brave. I'm not strong. I'm not pious. I'm not good. I angered him. I questioned him. I doubted him. At last, a spark. Come on. Come on. How am I going to feed my baby? How are we going to survive?
I lie on the kusha grass and close my eyes. I dream of the day I first met Rama, how I giggled when he threw a betel nut towards me. A wolf howls, fireflies and glowworms twinkle in the deep indigo of the forest. I see the light of a small hut in the distance. Tomorrow, I'll go there. I'll ask for help. I'll manage. I lie back in my sleeping bag and think. He said he would give up the world for me, and now he gives me up for the world.
Oh, help me, Mother!
The pain is incredible, agonizing. I want it to stop. The women of the village urge me to push. They're poor and hungry, but they've fed me on what little they have. Watched over me as if I was one of their own.
Oh.
I collapse in a heap. Someone holds me up and tells me to push again. I beg them to let me die, but they won't.
two boys, two sons I have. I'll call them Kush and Lava.
I remain a member of Rama's cabinet, but spend as much time as I can with my wife and our two children on our farm in Madhya Pradesh. Every so often I hear rumours that Sita is living in Paris, and she's a guest in China. Then, nothing. I don't want to think about where she could be. Rama devotes himself to the national cause, creating new wealth, promoting a free market, and signing treaties with our neighbours and those who share our political and economic interests. He is siding with the rich and alienating the poor. The unions organise mass demonstrations and denounce us for being out of touch. Opposition parties foster links with militant anarchist groups.
We must remain patient and optimistic, for without the hard work of the people, we can achieve nothing. The strike is over. I will personally ensure that normal working conditions are resumed as soon as possible. Meanwhile, we will no longer tolerate the subversive elements who feel this country is a soft touch. There is no room for terrorism in a modern India. Thank you.
The Prime Minister will not be answering questions. Please direct your questions to the Press Secretary, who will be with you shortly.
Rama, wait!
What do you want from me?
You could have been more agreeable.
To that lot of jabbering idiots. Did you see the editorial in the Times today? Accusing me of having a messiah complex.
They're just doing their jobs.
Is that what you call their parasitic behaviour? Tell them to try a day, no, an hour in mine, and then let's see what they write.
Keep it down.
What for? Do you think this facade is working?
There is something we can do.
What do you suggest, Hanuman?
A yugna. A horse sacrifice.
Inflation is sky high. We're in debt to every international funder. There's rioting on the streets, turmoil on our borders. The people don't trust me, and you want me to perform a yugna to change things.
All our leading pundits recommend it.
Release a white horse. Let it roam over the land and challenge anyone who tries to stop it.
You agree with him?
If this is how we bring back blessings to the country and restore public faith in us, yes, I'm behind it.
Then make the plans. And I'd like you, Hanuman, to accompany it. And just to be clear, wherever that horse goes, the land becomes mine?
Yes. We'll need military backup. A couple of dozen men, at least.
You lead the soldiers along with Sugriva. See no harm comes to the horse. It is important in this modern age that we don't lose sight of tradition, and that we listen to sages when they tell us to offer blessings for our happiness.
We'd get on faster if you ate less and worked more.
Oh, the corn's all chewy and the leaves are brown.
Then save it for the goats.
Can I stop now?
Pick the last row of ripe ones, and then you can go and light the fire.
I've got two kingfish, Ma.
You're soaking wet. How many times have I said, use a net?
You have to catch the fish in the water, Ma. That's how the men do it.
Take them home.
I've got them.
I've caught them, so I'll go.
Oh, go on.
It's not fair.
But I've been working.
Just take a basket of corn each and carry them with you. I don't care who guts and who scales, and get rid of as many bones as you can.
Yes, Ma.
And grind some chilies for me.
I walk over to the tomato plants and chop a few ripe stalks. I pick some cucumbers and follow my boys home. Janna, my neighbour, will already be cooking the rice. She and the other women in this village have been my family since I arrived here years ago. After supper, the boys leave to track wild boar, a game they play, and I dye cotton. By late evening, there is still no sign of them. I go to see Janna. She tells me all of the men are back. I round up the goats and watch the track disappearing into darkness.
Ma!
Where have you been? I was worried!
Ma!
I've been waiting for hours!
Listen.
Where's your brother?
The soldiers.
What?
They came to the forest, like invaders. They took him!
Which soldiers?
They came, with a white horse. He tried to stop them getting onto our land.
Kush leaves with his bow and arrows. I follow but lose him in the forest and return in case Lava makes it home. Within hours, Kush is back with Lava and two soldiers, trussed up like chickens.
These are the bandits who tied me up, Ma.
Mother Sita,
who are you?
Hanuman.
Forgive us, Sita.
Hanuman, you were going to hurt my sons.
Yours? Forgive me. I didn't know who you were.
Ma, what's going on?
Untie them.
No way, do you see their weapons?
Untie the prisoners, Lava.
All right. But we keep their guns.
I begin my story with a dry mouth and a faint heart.
They're government soldiers?
That's right.
They're not our friends.
Hanuman's my brother.
He's a monkey.
Not by blood, but he means as much to me as Lava does to you.
Is that why he tried to kill me?
He didn't know you were my son.
And our father?
Hanuman works for him.
Like an assassin?
Your father's a good man. Hanuman helped us when we were sent into exile.
You got kicked out of the country? What for?
At the time, it was the only way we could stay alive. Your father... Your father is Rama. He's the king. The ruler of this land.
Are you serious? So what are we doing here?
I prepare for their anger, but get none. I talk about Kakeyi, Ravan, our homecoming. And I tell them how Rama sent me away again.
We'll always love you, Ma.
Oh, my boys, I know.
Don't cry.
They hug and kiss me. A thousand questions later, they fall asleep in their cushioned grass blankets.
My beautiful boys.
The next morning, they leave with Hanuman. It's only a matter of time before he comes.
Where does she live?
In the forest. It's a couple of days' drive to the east. She made a comfortable home there.
And these are her sons?
Braver than you'll ever believe. They injured three of our soldiers.
Come to your father.
Come on.
Let me see you. Don't be shy.
Lava and Kush.
Well, Lava and Kush, what have you got to say for yourselves?
This palace, is it all yours?
Yours too now.
These chairs, are they gold? Real gold?
They are.
Can I have one?
Boys, we don't...
It's all right, Hanuman. You can take them all, Lava.
Our mother's waiting for us. We have to go home.
Not yet. You can stay for a few days.
Rama showers the boys with gifts, clothes, gadgets, anything they want. It's as if they've given him a new purpose in life.
How is Sita?
She's blooming and unaged. The hermits and the poor people in Dharma Forest protect her.
Did she ask after me?
No.
He's visibly hurt.
She'd gone to fetch the water by the time I left.
Is she safe? Not ill?
She keeps animals and grows vegetables on a small plot. She's thriving.
She should be here. She should never have left. Send an escort for her. Tell her Delhi, Mumbai, Ayodhya and the whole country welcomes her. Tell her that, please.
Twice Rama sends chaperones to collect Sita. Twice she does not come. Finally, he leaves the boys in the city and travels to see his wife alone.
The boys are beautiful. You've raised them into men the gods would be proud of.
What is it you want?
To say I'm sorry. To ask you to forgive me. To tell you I was wrong. I should never have doubted you.
But you did.
Come back with me. Share my life again.
Because I have your sons.
Because your rightful home is with me.
No.
Sita, I made a terrible mistake. Come back to Ayodhya. Everybody has missed you.
It's the poor people of this forest who have loved me and looked after my children. I was dead to you. Nothing.
Please. Sita, my life is empty without you.
You've managed so far.
I've been an idiot. I'll wait for you.
There's no point.
I'm prepared for it. You can't punish me any more than I've punished myself.
The day your brother abandoned me.
I love you.
On your orders.
Please, listen.
That day was the making of me. I survived because of the goodness of people who had nothing, and I've taught my children how to survive. I've done my duty and lived without a bad word being said since I came here. I'm ready to leave, but not with you.
Where will you go?
Back to my mother.
I don't understand.
I don't want you anymore, Rama. You don't own me. You never did.
Sita, please.
Mother Earth, if I've been true to my husband and children, take me back so I can lie in your arms.
Sita, forgive me!
The ground cracks open. An angry red split in the earth, taking trees and rocks down with it. I try to grab her, but she pulls away.
Tell my sons I love them more than life itself!
A wind comes from nowhere, whipping dust and leaves into the air. I see her balanced on the edge of the abyss, smiling, her arms raised high above her head, slender, beautiful, strong.
I hear you, Mother!
I step towards her and she jumps.
Sita!
Her white scarf floats upwards and is sucked down into the deep red cavern. I stumble forwards, my eyes sting, I can hardly breathe. But the earth closes over her, spitting out rocks like bullets.
Our father returned to the city. It was difficult. We didn't really know him.
Later when Lakshman,
his brother,
died, he stopped speaking.
Stopped eating.
He hardly seemed to know who we were.
When the funeral was over, Rama made a sacrifice at the temple where he'd been with our mother before we were born.
Then he walked barefoot to the Saraji River and threw himself in. But as we watched, the sun pierced the clouds.
And we saw an airship rising up into the heavens.
With the word Vishnu
written in gold
on the side.
In part two of the Ramayana, dramatized by Amber Lone, Sita was played by Manjinder Virk, Rama by Lloyd Thomas, Kush by Omar Kent, and Lava by Neil Reynolds. Lakshman was played by Adil Akhtar, Ravan by Paul Bhattacharji, Supnaka by Sasha Bihar, Hanuman by Kulvinda Gir, Sugriva by Jude Akawudike, and Mandodari by Divya Mair. The music was composed by Niraj Chagh, and the director was Claire Grove.
Well, we have another four extra drama debut tomorrow, and if the onset of autumn is getting to you, then this is guaranteed to cheer you up. Eccentric Aristocrats, Pig Napping, and the Notorious Prawn episode. It's all there as we indulge in a glorious feast of Midsummer Mayhem.
Romance.
Do you think I'm in love with Mr. Carmody R. Constance?
Such a thought never entered my head.
Scandal.
I'll tell the full story of the prawns.
Pig Napping.
You know that pig of your uncle's? It's gone.
Gone?
Gone.
It can only be P.G. Woodhouse.
Joy, as you might say, will be unconfined.
Starring Samuel West, Matt Lucas, Charles Dance and Patricia Hodge. Summer Lightning on BBC Radio 4 Extra. Starts on Wednesday morning at 10 and again in the afternoon at 3.
Drink up and tally-ho for Blandings!
Now, back in 2009, you may remember, we broadcast a bite-sized episode of a radio drama and then left it up to our listeners to tell us what should happen next. Well, you didn't let us down. 3 months later, you'd woven a tale with more twists and turns than Spaghetti Junction and probably just as easy to get lost in. You can hear that story, which picked up a BBC Innovation Award and a Radio Academy Silver Award as well, here on BBC Radio 4 Extra over 3 nights, starting next Wednesday, that's October the 2nd. And following that, we're going to start all over again with a new story. So, that's Chain Gang. Tune in, have a look at our website and get set to steer us in the right direction.
The BBC search for new stand-up talent continues.
Lady at the bookshop, where is your pantomime section?
Coming to you once again from Manchester.
And she said, it's behind you.
10 more acts take to the stage to see who will win the fourth heat.
Slugs come from the same family as snails, but bad life choices have left them homeless.
2013 BBC Radio New Comedy Award continues here on BBC Radio 4 Extra.
So with your fancy radios, you can have a listen.
In Friday night's Comedy Club at 10:30.
Oh, come on, we've sent a few more. That's comedy gold!
Well, Mel will be along in just a couple of moments. I shall return with a Tuesday evening comedy after that. We'll be flying the flag with Dinsdale Landon at 5 o'clock.
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Hello, 4 p.m, Tuesday afternoon. All's good. Radio 4 Extra, time for the 4 o'clock show. I'm Mel Gedroych, and coming up over the next hour, we'll hear from champion cyclist Victoria Pendleton. We'll learn about the science behind invisibility cloaks. And as we listen to the next chapter in this week's story, which is Tom's Midnight Garden by Philippa Pierce, we'll find out how grandfather clocks first made their appearance in British homes.
For a fairly wealthy English home, I think, even when this was made. I mean, yes, they were getting cheaper by the time this was made, which is, what, say, about 1810. But you haven't reached the level where everybody could afford this. This was still an expensive item.
All that, plus Fred McCauley, hooray, will be back, pitting two teams against each other in our 4 o'clock show quiz, Keep It In The Family. And I'm sure you knew this already. We are, oh yes, going to be heading off on my magical mystery tour. Every day on the show, we all get together. Yes, all of us, even you at the back. I can see you and hop on the bus. We fire up the engine and head off on my magical mystery tour. But here's the catch. It's a mystery tour. I don't tell you where we're going. I'll give you a few clues, oh yeah, throughout the programme, and it's up to you to see if you can suss it out, OK? So this week in the show, there's a strong gardening theme as we listen to Tom's Midnight Garden by Philippa Pierce. So we're off to a city in England for which gardens are very important. Have a think for the moment, and I'll give you a few more clues very shortly. In this week's story, which is the classic tale of Tom's Midnight Garden, we hear how young Tom is sent off to live with his aunt in the country. He hates being there. It's boring, his aunt's mean, and his cousins are horrible. But things take a turn when, one sleepless night, he hears the chimes of the old grandfather clock in the hallway. Midnight has come and gone, and the clock strikes 13.
7, 8, 9, 10? You're going it, thought Tom. Yes, and it hadn't finished yet. 11, 12? Fancy striking midnight twice in one night, jeered Tom. 13! Proclaimed the clock, and then stopped striking.
We'll hear more about what happens when the clock strikes 13 when we hear the next chapter in the story at the end of today's show. But what about those grandfather clocks, eh? Have you ever lived in a house that has one? I love the tick, the resonating tick of a grandfather clock. Now, in a programme for our big sister station, BBC Radio 4, presenter Lars Tharp went to find out how these elegant timepieces first made their way into our homes and our lives.
Old Time, the clock setter, that bald sexton, Time.
There's something about a ticking clock that gives a sense of order to a place, of all being well in the world if the clocks are wound and keeping time. One clock more than any other epitomises that sense of continuity. It's the clock of the nursery rhyme of warmth and permanence, the long case or grandfather clock. Here at the British Horological Institute in Newark, time is everywhere, ticking, striking, chiming. Joining me amongst this magnificent collection of long case clocks are Simon Bull and Viscount Alan Middleton, with a fairly traditional example of the long case clock, the one that we all remember from the storybooks.
Anyway, this particular clock, it's a painted dial clock, so it has an iron dial which has been painted white. In addition, it has a moon phase above the centre of the clock.
Is this a sort of a standard object for an English home?
For a fairly wealthy English home, I think, even when this was made. I mean, yes, they were getting cheaper by the time this was made, which is, what, say, about